librarian. I haven't been in the libraries for a while.
San Diego, huh? I see the shelves all the time, you know?
From Bnei Brak, the son of Rav Dan Agarsh, who was here in America, and he was invited to speak in the night of the base medrash. It was Hanukkah, and some of us Talmidim were encouraged, motivated to go, and we joined. What stuck in my head the most from that setting, that was my first time actually going to the night of the base medrash, was upon the close of his speech. That's what stuck in my head the most. When he ended his speech, he was sharing some heartfelt feelings of his perspective of the growth of Muncie. To us, we see it growing gradually. To him, he hasn't been here in about 20 years. And all of a sudden, it comes to him in a flash, the growth. I think he was born here. And it's like a vision coming true. To illustrate his feelings, he said over what Rav Reuven Gozovsky, the first Rosh Yeshiva, based on Medrash Eli, 1945, he said over what Rav Reuven Gozovsky said by the Levaya of Mr. Halberg. Who's Mr. Halberg? So there were two children, Halberg brothers, who were learning in Torah Vadas. When Rav Shraga Feivel, at the time, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich wanted to open up out of town a separate, he felt that they would do better, the better bracha would do better away from the hustle bustle of the city. So he was looking for a deserted hotel in the Catskills. And this Mrs. Halberg was a broker, and she said, "What do you have to go hike all the way up there?" You have to realize in those days, to come to Muncie, it was a 2.5-hour trip on a bumpy ride. You had to go to Port Authority and to come here. There's even from Ksavim from Reuven Gozovsky having been written on the bus or whatever it was, a train on a slant going across. You could tell that it was like bumpy and going diagonally across. So he said, "What do you have to go up to the Catskills? We have something right here in Muncie." So she was a broker. She gave him her brokerage fee as a down payment, and through that they came to this. And he was saying how it's amazing how he never dreamed that there would be. So what did he say about the Levaya? He said that there was once a mussel, a king, wanted to do good to a close friend of his. So the friend asked for what you like. He said, "Fine, no problem. Take a chessboard, put a penny on the first, and keep doubling it. 2 cents, 4 cents, 8, 16. And just give me that amount of money." King says, "Sure, no problem. Sounds like a little bit." When you're halfway through the board, you're off the calculator already, the old-fashioned calculator. So Rav Reuven said, "That's what Muncie's going to look like one day." Rav Dan Agarsh, the friend of the Rav, he said he was by that Levaya, he said he didn't understand at that time. Rav Chmiel Angarish was coming back to now, 5 years ago, some 60 plus years after that, around 60 years after that was said. And that's one end of the circle is how we see the growth, and her going all the way down to the end of Muncie. And yet, was there yet to experience another stage as the two ends of the circle meet, myself, Rav Yaakov Nussbaum, Rav Tzvi Klein, maybe we'll be more, also joined this night database message by night. We enjoy the different chavrus that go on over there, and the many different programs and the main yeshikayach of the night of this mezgud, Sir Biyati Himi, who's in the crowd, and now we have the covet of having David Heber speak. He's besides for his title speak for himself of being the rav of a shul and the administrator of the Star K. He's also a mechutin of a very dear friend of the yeshiva of Nassim Schwab and a Shver, one of our young guys, to be Sol Meir Hyman.
Thank you very much. Yashkayach to Yossi for his askanas and putting the shir together, and Yashkayach to the night side of his medrash. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing. Torah every night is night was mesukin for Limud HaTorah, and it's a beautiful thing. And Yashkayach to Bismen Shalyan for hosting this program this morning. I come to the Spanish Elion as my Adam is learning here. Hashem, just a wonderful Makom Torah. On the other end, from Friedrich Atiris, my Rebbe, Rav Kolevsky Zatzal, has spent much time here. learning here. He was kind of Torah, Torah Dasan here. And it's a big schus. I learned Yardaya. I took Paris by Kolesky Zatzal, who learned here. So they say what goes around comes around. Undoubtedly, Kolesky learned Yardaya right here in this Spanish. And I was able to learn by him Yardaya. And this morning's discussion is Bas Machal of Inyonim, which is Yardaya. So really, Kolesky's Torah that he learned right here in this Makam some 60 years ago comes back through the Mass, one of his Talmidim that come here to learn. And Baruch Hashem, it's a pleasure to be here. Ramah in Hilchos Shavuos is well known that the minig by Kama Mekaymus is Lechol Machol Echolov, to eat milchiks B'yom Rishon Shel Shavuos on the first day of Shavuos, on either day of Shavuos. And there are many, many minhagim. Some people eat milchiks by the night meal, some people eat by the day meal, some people eat by both, some people eat just make kiddush on milchiks, some people eat both. They eat two sudas, which we'll talk about, the milchiks and fleishiks, and one suda, akol kafi aminig. The Ramah, of course, brings the nearly hatam, shehu kemoi, hashnei tafshilim, shaloyfim, b'leil pesach, zecher, b'leil pesach, just like Pesach, you had a zecher, so too, we have a zecher of the shtei alechem, which was brought on Shavuos. Other reasons, of course, Klal Yisrael were unable to eat meat after Kabbalas HaTorah, so they had to eat cholov. Right? All the various minhagim. But what that leads to is obviously an issue of Bas Mecholov in Yonim, which is Kedai Lechazer, because normally we deal with Bas Mecholov all year round, but typically we eat supper one night, it's going to be fleishiks, another night is milchiks. Here the Balabasta is dealing, and the Balabas is dealing with. Here you have milchiks and fleishiks, and many shilas come up, and there are shilas that come up to avoid issues. There's how to deal with it, lechatila. So I want to go through all of those, how to deal with the oven, what to do. And we were prat this year, Erev Shavuos is usually a weekday, so then you're able to set the time. Here, you're coming on Erev Shabbos, you're dealing with a Shabbos suda, which is going to be fleishiks, and then you want to be meichen. Most balabasas want to already have prepared for Yontem, Matzah Shabbos, if they're eating milchiks, Matzah Shabbos. So again, it becomes even more complicated with Erev Shavuos being a Shabbos this year, and therefore one needs to know how to deal with the situation. There are various really sugyas that I want to go through, and again, not only Shavuos, but once we're on the sugya, we could touch on other inyanim. Number one is the waiting 6 hours, and that's of course in both directions, how to deal with going from the 6 hours from Basar to Cholov, and how to go from Cholov to Basar, people who are naive to eat a milk kasuda, then they eat a fleishik kasuda, what's necessary. And Stam, again, that's the gay all the time, someone eats milchiks, what do they need to do, especially if they eat hard cheese. What's necessary, of course, we'll use the term 6 hours, again, Hakol Kafi Aminig, those that are naive 3 hours, Hakol Kafi Aminig, so we'll use the term 6 hours, if you're naive 3 hours, then you'll fill in the word 3 hours whenever I say 6 hours. Number two is using the same oven. What about using the same oven back and forth? Some people have two ovens. They have a milk oven, they have a fleishik oven. But what happens if you only have one oven? And agav will touch on, even if you have a milk instead of fleishik oven, people prepare fish. How do you do that? What if you prepare challahs in a fleishik oven? Are you able to eat it with the fish? It's very negeya. It's often overlooked. We'll touch upon that. That's really negeya. Every Shabbos. The third sugya we have to touch upon is leftover bread. There's a halacha of Gzeir Chazal, which we'll elaborate on, of that we have bread on a milchika table or a fleishika table, people touch it, and now you run into issues with eating it with the opposite type. And finally, the halacha of making dairy bread. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you cannot make fleishika bread or milchika bread under certain conditions, because we're afraid you're going to eat it with the opposite type. So that's very negay Shavuos, because Shavuos is an opportunity to make milchik. So could you make? How do you make the bread? When is it mutter? When is it asr? Let's start with the 6 hours. The halacha is that, as is well known, is a machlokes rishonim, why we wait. One waits 6 hours after eating fleishiks. Machlokes either the bus of anashinayim, because there's meat which is left between the teeth, because the meat gets caught between our teeth, or it's meshech tam, which means when you eat fleishiks, the taste is a heavy item, and therefore that when I eat milchiks with it or after it, the tam, this maishev, remains with me for 6 hours, and therefore I have a tam of bas b'cholov, and therefore Chazal were geizer to wait these 6 hours. this various nafkaminas halacha between these two reasons. The prevalent minig is to be machmir like both. One nafkamina is, let's say, somebody chews meat, but they don't swallow it. So al sposer ben hashinai. In other words, someone took a bite. They were Friday afternoon. They wanted to eat fleishiks and or erev shavuos when it's a weekday. Let's say, or you had leftover fleishiks this year on Shabbos afternoon, and now you took a bite out of the fleishiks and you realize, oh, I'm eating milchiks tonight. So now, what do you do? So you didn't swallow it, you didn't eat it. So al sposer tam you don't have because you didn't swallow it. Sposer tam is only when you swallow it. But al sposer ben hashinayim, you still have that issue, and therefore we talk our machmir and we would say that you have to wait. You have to wait 6 hours. A bala posta erev Shabbos is, or on a Thursday, let's say, she's preparing the chicken soup and she puts the soup in her mouth and swallows a little bit of it just to taste it. So again, al sposer ben hashinayim, you don't have that reason because the soup doesn't get caught between the teeth. However, al sta'alocha of mashach tam, you will have mashach tam because you actually swallowed it. So again, the minhag is to be machmir like both ways. So a case where you would not be machmir is where a person took some soup in their mouth and spit it out. They say, oh, I'm going to be fleishiks. They spit it out. You don't have mashach tam. You don't have sposer ben hashinayim. And therefore, one in that case would not have to wait 6 hours. The agav, what constitutes something which is fleishiks? What is something fleishiks? So there are three madregas of fleishiks. This is also, again, the 9 days, actually, where the minhag is not to eat fleishiks. You have the actual basar itself, meat. That, of course, you have to wait 6 hours. You have a tamshil shel basar. A tamshil shel basar is something which is cooked with fleishiks. Classic example of that would be a cholent potato. You make a cholent so that the potato itself only gets the flavor of the meat. It gets the schmaltz of the meat. That's known as a tamshil shel basar. We treat a tamshil shel basar as fleishiks. If you eat a cholent potato, this could be negeya. You have leftovers Sunday night. You have leftover cholent and you didn't have any meat left, right? The meat was eaten, but you have some potatoes, some barley. There's no mamash of meat. But the halacha is, you eat that cholent, you still have to wait 6 hours because tamshil shel basar. You have to wait. And the 9 days, the minhag also is a tamshil shel basar. It's treated like fleishiks itself, and therefore we don't eat it. However, if something is cooked in a fleishik of kli, there you don't have to wait 6 hours. And there, taka during the 9 days as well, we're makel. So that, even though you're not l'chatchila allowed to mix this with milchiks, and in that oifen, in that gather, it's considered something which is fleishiks. Nonetheless, talocha is one is not required to wait 6 hours. So again, if Erev Yontif, this comes up, I got my son, one of my sons doesn't like milchiks. So he was learning in Israel for many years, so he was always nervous he would be invited out the first night of Yontif to people invited to eat by the he's alive, by Rabbein, and so on. So he was afraid if they eat fleishiks, and then, okay, he'll go. If they're eating milchiks, I can't even tell somebody doesn't want milchiks. They're inviting him, the Gemara is making the gesture to invite him. So he would go out of his way to eat something fleishiks, Erev Shavuos afternoon. This way, if he was invited for the first night of Yontif, he could say, oh, you're having milchiks or fleishiks? So they would say, we're having milchiks. He says, oh, you know, I ate fleishiks today. So this way he was able to bow out of the being mevayish the ball of bus and saying, like, you know, I don't want to come. And therefore in that case he was fleishiks, and therefore it certainly was not a problem. Now the din is that you just as you need 6 hours by fleishiks, so too by hard cheeses one needs 6 hours. This could be negeya on Shavuos. If you're making something which is a hard cheese, which we'll define in a moment, one would have to wait the 6 hours. Rav Aaron, Zecharon Tzadik Livracha, held that how do you define hard cheese? It's something that if you have to grate it, if you can't cut it like a regular, you need, it's only grated. Examples of that would be Parmesan cheese, Romano cheese. Romano cheese is not really so negay because it's not readily available kosher. Well, now maybe a little bit more. Certain Swiss cheeses are also considered as hard cheese. So those you have to wait. If that's the case, you have to wait 6 hours after. Again, the extra minute would be to wait 3 hours, similar to the din by meat. So others hold if it's aged for six months, then that's considered. In other words, the fact that it was aged for an extended period of time, then that's enough. So again, the chukadei is it a din in how long it's aged? Is it a din in how it's you actually are able to you can use a knife? You have to grate it, right? So the chukadei is exactly how to define it. So there's some, maybe some nafkamina, but by and large, the hard cheeses are noticeable. Now, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal held that even if it's cooked, it's still considered a hard cheese. Now, one could argue that if hard cheese is a thin and hard, but once you already cook it or you bake it, you add, for example, let's say you add Parmesan cheese to a pizza, for example. So now it's already softened. By the time it heats up, it's going to be, the cheese gets softened. The hopikein, this is chukah days, we also have help that one would be pleased to wait for 6 hours. If I initially to Zarkei, we advise also that one should wait 6 hours. You have to be careful, you know, when using it, if you're going back and forth from milk insufflations. Now, American cheese and Munster cheese and mozzarella cheese, those are not considered hard cheeses, and therefore the halacha is one, eating those cheeses would not have to wait 6 hours. We'll see what's necessary, what needs to be done. So if you eat two sudas, you eat a milk suda and a flesh suda back to back, you certainly don't want to serve hard cheese, because if you serve hard cheese, you can't eat flesh. The whole minute you're not going to be able to eat makayim, but you have to eat the soft cheeses. And then, in order to eat flesh, we'll see in a moment what's necessary. But before that, I want to just point out an important nakuda here. The term hard cheese really relates to two different sugyas in Yaradeya. One is what we spoke about, the din of 6 hours, right? You have to wait 6 hours for hard cheese, Parmesan cheese, etc. What's a hard cheese? That's a sugya in 6 hours. There's another sugya of hard cheese, which is a sugya of binasakum. It was a zera chazal of a cheese which was made by a guy, and there's actually chulkadeus in the paiskim. The chulkadeus as far as what constitutes gvinas yisrael. Some hold that you have to actually, the yid has to prepare the cheese. Others hold that it's enough to just be mashkiach al kabav, like chol yisrael. Chol yisrael, the yid doesn't have to milk the cow. Right, it's enough that the yid is there to see that the guy was milking a cow and not a chazer. That's enough for Chol Yisrael. Right, he's there. He's the mashgiach. By cheese, this chulkadeus, is it enough that he stands there, or does he actually have to participate in the, or make the production, throw in the rennet in order to make the cheese? So the minig in Kashrei cheese is that he actually throws in the rennet. Today, that just means he pushes the button, which introduces the rennet. It's all automated. So you push a button, and the rennet is introduced into the system, and that's what he does, and that makes the Gvinas Yisrael that's necessary. Now here, there's also a sugya of hard cheese and soft cheese, because the zera of Gvinas Akum is only on the hard cheese. On a soft cheese, like cream cheese, for example, you don't have the gzera of Gvinas Akum, and therefore a yid doesn't have to make it. A yid is enough of Ashkach of Yotzev and Nichnas. You don't need a Mashkiach present and a cream cheese production all the time. You do need a Mashkiach present and Isaac in the production at a Swiss cheese production, or even at a Munster cheese production. So my point here is that Munster cheese a hard cheese? Somebody says Munster cheese a hard cheese. You have to answer them, what sugya are you referring to? Are you referring to the sugya of 6 hours? Well, then it's a soft cheese, because you don't have to wait 6 hours after Munster cheese. Are you referring to the sugya of Gvinas Akum? Well, yes, it is a hard cheese, because this is a din of Gvinas Akum, and it's considered a hard cheese, and therefore one would have to be careful to buy a kosher cheese. So to go to a kosher supermarket and to buy a cheese which does not have hashkacha, it's certainly to eat it would be usur. Because it's Gvinas Akum, even though today they only use microbial rennet. In other words, the rennet that they're using is kosher. They don't. It's not kedai anymore. It's not cost effective to use a tray for rennet. It's microbial, which is much cheaper to make. That rennet is kosher. So what are we worried about? In other words, we're afraid that they're using a tray for rennet. They're not using a tray for rennet. It's not happening. And culture can let a mashkiach go in and check, right? So, but Terence is. What's that? Rennet is from the cow. Rennet is maimed the cheese. In other words, it's an enzyme. When you have milk, you need to check. How do you get milk into a cheese? So you add an enzyme which converts the cheese, which converts the milk into a cheese. And there's a biological process which takes place, right, through the growth of enzymes, etc. And now it ends up, it's maimed the cheese. So Chazal or Geyser, that typical rennets come from the animal. It came from Vayimetmeya, from the stomach of the Vayimetmeya. Those enzymes had the chaylus to convert a milk a carton of milk into a pail of milk into a cheese. So they were geyser because people would take a tray from animal and put it in. But today the microbial is really it's artificial, so to speak, artificially made, not from a behemoth. It's just grown up, via the use of microbes, etc. And now there's nothing trade about it; it's just a bunch of chemicals. So it's kosher. But we have when based in makes a gzera, the halacha is that you, in order to be a vatal gzera chazal, you need a based in gola b'chachma v'minyan, which means a based in, we don't have to convene. That's gola b'chachma v'minyan. Rakshah, we have gdol ador, but they will tell you that they are not on the madreg of the gzera of the tanoim and who established this gzera of Chazal, and therefore they don't have the yicholus to undo a gzeirah of Chazal, and therefore the gzeirah remains in place. I should note that within the gedarim of quote unquote akum, in other words, you have minas akum, cholav akum, and stam yenam, etc. Within that, bishul akum, really gvinas akum is the gzeirah which is really oymed in its entirety. In other words, pasakum, right? The Chazal themselves rescinded that pas paltas mutter. Only pas baked in someone's home. Pas paltas mutter. People are zohir. People are makbid. But it's a chumrah. Cholavakum, right? You have the famous truth for Moshe. The Chol Yisrael, of course, is still a gzeir which remains in place. But we say anan sahadi. Ramesh has a tshuva that we know the government. The government's on top of it. Right, there's a certain heterim. Even Bishul Akum has built-in heterim of it has to be oil shulchan malachim. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says this in order for it to be Bishul Akum, it has to be oil shulchan malachim. It has to be ein nefek moshu chai, which means it has to be fit for a king's table, something you'd serve in a chasana. It has to be something which is inedible in its raw state. So water doesn't have a problem with Bishul Akum because it's you can drink it raw. Carrots don't have a problem with Bishul Akum because you can eat it raw. Right, so you have loopholes within Bishul Akum that exist. That's the Gemara's loopholes. That's the Shulchan Aruch's loopholes. Gvinas Akum is the gzeira that is, if a guy made it, it's straight. There's no wiggle room. Right, it's mamash gzeira that is still in place. And again, as you're preparing yontif, certainly it's something to keep in mind. Now, so what happens if you eat milchiks? Now that we have the background, now let's get to shulchan. A person wants to eat a milch kasuda, and then they want to eat a flesh kasuda. So what's necessary? What has to happen in order to be able to do that? So the din is, you have really one of two options. One option is to wait a half hour. The place can bring down that, Yankov said this, and other Gedalia Paiskim, the lashon of Zayar is a lashon of Shah Chada, which literally means 1 hour. But they say a roi v'sagi. It's not lav davka. Zayi didn't mean literally an hour on the clock. It meant you wait up as a chatich aru l'schavet of time. You wait a chunk of time, which is kosher. So one answer is a half hour later. The halacha is this would not be a problem.
You see, not like that because the Ramaz, she did the whole thing. It needs to be an hour. One of the players this one is Yeshua. An hour.
Right, sorry, but a lot of the place can come out that it doesn't mean.
Literally, that means an hour in the car.
Literally,
is an hour.
Right, right, correct. The Zayir's lashon is shachada.
And a lot of
there are. It's full
days. Based on this, it means an hour. Mamish, actually, means half an hour.
Full days. That's it's gebrach.
Ikkud is a half an hour. The 6 hours prior together, but Ikkud is right. An hour.
Right. It seems to be the prevalent meaning though is the way the half hour. That seems to be on Haga, not like the little Zayir's.
And the Yishan. Right,
right. Right, correct.
But you see the Rambam himself, he meant an hour.
Right, unless also he meant, again, I'm Yankov of others, there's a whole list of Paiskim and Achrayim that learned it up this way. So that's one Eitzah. The other Eitzah, if you don't want to wait a half hour, so then you could, Shulchan Aruch says you got to do three things. Number one is, you have to wash your hands. Number two is you have to eat something, and number three is you have to drink something. By doing all three, what happens when you eat milchik? So now your hands are greasy, so you wash your hands, take care of that, and now your mouth has mamushes in it. So how do you get rid of the mamushes? By eating something and by drinking something. So that cleans your mouth out. Now agav, the place can bring down that you can't eat. Not everything works to eat. You don't want to eat something which doesn't clean your mouth. So for example, dates. right? If a person had milchiks and then they ate dates, dates are sticky. It will leave a stickiness. Or if you ate a powdered substance, they make these like sugar powders. They said pixie sticks. Those types of substance, which is a powdered flavored sugar that you eat, that just keeps your mouth more messy, so to speak. And therefore, you have to eat something that would allow you to clean your palate, and therefore that would allow you to do this right away. Now, I got my chicken. If you're going from milchiks to chicken, halachas, you don't need all this. Obviously, if you mamish know you have my mushes in your mouth, and it's less than a half hour, you feel it. Obviously, you want to drink something, but you don't have to go. If everything seems fine, then one does not have to be as zahir by chicken. Mibal chicken is itself only the rabbanon. So going from challah to chicken, they were not so makbin on, and therefore one has the ability to be a little bit more male in that regard. So then yes, the lashon brushing teeth. Can you people ask you to floss? If I floss, I don't have basa benes shinayim, right? Well, nice, you saw mashiach tam. Pashas, the brushing teeth doesn't seem to be enough. In other words, the takanas chazal was you want to go look at the plates right away. You need to go through these three steps. Now the real shaila, this is machlekes achrayim. The mishabura in Taf Tzadik Daled El Chashvus is machriya lohakol here, and that is you don't have to bench, right? So the bottom line here is if you're eating one suda, if your minig is to eat milchiks and then eat fleishiks, you don't have to bench, even though one can argue the lashon in the Gemara is suda achas is a problem. Eluchas suda achas k'dayel mizu, but lemaisa you don't have to bench, and you don't have to make a bracha achrayna when you're going. This could be nageyastam. A person comes home, they eat milchiks, and they hear, oh, it's fleishik for supper, but they already made a bracha rishayna, and now do you have to make a bracha fachas, and and then go to the next suda of fleishik. The halacha is you don't. Now the bread's going to have to be changed. You have to change the tablecloth. We'll talk about the challah a little bit later. But lemaisa, you could eat milchiks. You can watch. You can eat milchiks, and then you can go to fleishik, even though you're in the same suda, even though one did not. One did not bench. Now, if someone did bench, this is Nageya Shal Shudas, it's worth mentioning here. If a person did bench after milchiks to get the fleishiks, then there's halacha, you need a hefsik of some period of time. This year Shavuos is Matzah Shabbos, so the issue of Shal Shudas comes up. So it's Mehudur Dik, we mentioned this in Derech Agav, it's Mehudur Dik not to eat after a half hour before Mincha Ketana, which is probably around, I'm going to guess, about 5 o'clock or so. This by Shavuos, so one should lechatchila eat shal shudas before 5 o'clock. Now, if you missed that, let's say you went to sleep, you woke up, and it's already after a half hour before mincha ketana. The halacha is you would still eat shal shudas. You wouldn't eat irregular shal shudas. You eat on regular Shabbos, but you'd certainly be able to watch. And it's more important to eat shal shudas than to be worried about not staring your yontif suda. We hold that about right now you're mechuyim shal shudas, you would eat it, but it says here is to eat it before. But before half hour before mincha ketana. Now some people are noyig to split a meal. What they do for shal shudas, what they do is they'll eat lunch, Shabbos lunch, and then they'll bench, and then they'll wash again. So a couple points on this. Number one, this man of shal shudas is from mincha gedolah. So mincha gedolah here is I think about 1:40. So if you eat lunch at 11 o'clock, and now you say okay, we're going to bench at 12:30, and now let's eat shal shudas. So you're not yaitz shal shudas. Only like the rush of yaitz shal shudas. That's what we're saying. Mechan. Some people are zayir. Our patients shal b'shabbos. They eat early, but that's only a das yachin and mishainim. Most mishainim hold, and this is what we possibly, that shal shudas has to be eaten after the zman of mincha gedolah. So if you're breaking up your suda, you want to eat shal shudas, you got to wait until after mincha gedolah. So that would be after 1:40. That's number one. Number two is you have to be careful for brach shenet tzricha. Right? You can't. Okay, let's bench. And then let's wash, right? You have to have some sort of hefsik. So you take a walk, you do something, and that's a hefsik. Agav, right? Halacha lo Reb Kolesky is atzal. Like ksubas by Reb Kolesky, it comes in a geya. There's a machloikis by Sheva Brachas. Had a chesh with Sheva Brachas. So do you go by 7 days, or do you go by meis la'eis? Which means if it's raining again in the summer, somebody gets married in the summer, let's say on Tuesday afternoon. Or let's say today, let's say you have a chasana, you go to chasana, and now they get married at, let's say, 7 o'clock this afternoon. So it's machlekes kesh cheskel magen avrom, had a cheshbon 7 days. Do you go meis la'eis, right? That's the Magen Avraham holds. You go Meis Leis, which means you go from 7 o'clock, and now 7 o'clock on the Monday, you have till 7 o'clock next Monday. 7 p.m., they got married, you have till 7 p.m. next Monday. But the Knesset Cheskel holds, under the additions, the way we make Chassan this year, is that you only have 7 days. So Monday is day one, which is all but 2 hours, an hour and a half. Monday is day one, Tuesday is day two, etc. Sunday is day seven, which means you have to finish Sheva Brachas by Shkia on Sunday, which is obviously, that almost precludes the ability to make Sheva Brachas. Okay, Sunday is maybe a little bit easier, you can start earlier, but if it's a Tuesday night, and if it's already in August, where Shkia is ready earlier, everybody's rushing, right, to Shkia is at 7:30, how are you going to make Sheva Brachas then? So you got to bench by Shkia. So I get to Shiloh periodically, what do? We want to make, you know, we have another relative wants to make Sheva Brachas, what do we do? So the elephants have to bench by Shkia. It depends by Shkia. So how are we going to do that? You know, we're starting 6:30. We're going to bench at 8 o'clock, right? Shkia is 8:15. How do you do it? So what you do is you save some speeches for later and serve your main course and then save dessert for later. I told them once the Shabbat brachas, and they made a mistake. They did Shabbat brachas before Shkia, 8 o'clock. And then, literally, as the last kais, as the kais was being drunk by the Chasam Kala, they come out with dessert. Right, and they call up a speech, but that's a brach shein tzricha because they just bench and to serve dessert right away is a brach shein tzricha. What should happen is you have your bench, and then you have a speech, and you have nachas speech, right? And then by the time you're done, a couple speeches, then you're able to bring out the dessert. Now, what happens if you have leftovers? If you have leftovers between the sudas, so now till now we're really talking about if you make one suda, right? You know, if you have milk ventilation. But now what I'm going to talk about is they get everybody. And that is number one. You make a milchah suda, and now you have leftovers. You have, let's say Shabbos, you have milchiks, and then Shabbos lunch, you have fleishik. You have Sunday lunch, you have sudas afternoon, you have milchiks, and then Sunday night you want to have fleishik. So what do you do with the leftovers? So this is very negative. Number one, if something was made in a milchik kli, let's say, can you now serve it with fleishiks? Right, this is not, like, all year round. What's the halacha? So the din is like this. If it was cooked in a ben yoimai, fleishik, milk of kli, you made a paramite, you made spaghetti, and the spaghetti was served, right, with your milchiks. You made a milchik pot, your kavanah was to serve it at the milchik table, and you cooked the whole thing in a milchik pot, and now you serve it by milchiks. But you didn't serve it all, right? You have plenty left over. Now you want to serve it, you want to put it in the soup. You want to put it in your Sunday night, you're going to have chicken soup, mutter rasa. So it is like this. If it's in a ben yoimai, if it was made in a ben yoimai, that means a kli that was used within the past 24 hours with milchiks, it had been used. And when you prepared it, you're preparing today for shavuos, and it was cooked in a milchik kli that was used within the past 24 hours, it's a power of item. And it was cooked in a kli that was used in the past 24 hours, the halacha is, you're not allowed to mix it with the opposite type. You cannot mix it pleishiks. You cannot put it in your chicken soup. B'di'evit, if you did, b'di'evit is kosher. We hold that if it was cooked, b'di'evit, even a ben yoimai, as long as it's no mamashes, b'di'evit it's okay. So if someone did chap, they put it in their soup, b'di'evit it's okay. They can eat the soup, but you cannot put it in. If a person cooked it in a spaghetti and it ate a ben yoimai, then, and it was done not the kavana to eat with fleishiks, you were going to serve with milchiks, but you had leftovers. So if it was cooked in any ben yoimai, the halacha is you could mix it with fleishiks. In other words, it was, think about it, if it was cooked in any ben yoimai milchik kli, you have leftovers, you could now mix it with fleishiks. That's the halacha. From milchiks proper, yes. Yes, good point.
I cooked it.
Correct. Excellent question. If a person, let's say, cooked what today, Monday, if a person made, let's say, milchiks Motzei Shabbos, and then they cooked boiled water in it yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So it was a ben yoimai from the milchiks. Does the clock start over again? So by milchiks or fleishiks, the clock does not start over, and now the 24 hours would come to an end at 10 o'clock last night. Right? You cooked it in Motzei Shabbos milchiks, 10 o'clock is an ene ben yoimai, you're cooking it today, it's an ene ben yoimai. By Isser, the clock starts again. If someone cooked something tray for 10 o'clock Motzei Shabbos, and then 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, they boiled water, we say the water becomes the vela, and now it's like the vela now trays up the pot, the clock starts over again. If you cook today in it, and right now, it would now you now have a tray for food. Right? That would be the law. But if a person's not allowed to l'chatchila cook something in a milchik ke'en ben yoimai, knowing that they're going to put it into fleishiks. In other words, let's say today your wife says, you know what, I have to make spaghetti. Oh, very good, I'll make pyro, I'll cook it in milk and clay, and I know I'm make for two suitors, right? And say, I haven't used this milk and clay in a week, right, in 24 hours. So let me make for both, or let me make for fleishiks. That you can't do. If you can't look at tefillah, pull out a milk and pot and cook pyro in it, knowing that you're planning on using for fleishiks. As I fight, we don't go. But if the yevet, if it was cooked, the halacha is it's not a problem. Now, so this is the geya. Of course, if you see de on certain hachsherim have de, certain hachsherim don't. But even the hachsherim that don't, the star K does not put de on products. The OU also does not. The OK does, and I believe the chaf K does. But it's a question of what's tarshav al pen, what's tarshav b'chsav. There are different feelings of don't put de. Is it the right thing to put? Do you just leave it as de? There are a number of reasons, right? Elu to elu, it's svaris of, it's not really halachic reasons, it's svaris. But even the agencies that don't put de will tell you tarshav al peh, you know, this is milcha kalim. So if somebody's milcha kalim, you cannot mix it with hachila fleishiks because you don't know, right, if it was ben yoyim or ena ben yoyim. Now, what if you have leftover bread? So leftover bread. So again, you go with milchiks to fleishiks different days. In other words, one day you're eating milchiks, next day you're eating fleishiks. What do I do with the challah? Is they get every Shabbos? Because if you have leftover challah from Shabbos, are you allowed to make grilled cheese on Sunday? Mutar or Aser? So Chazal made a gzeira, and that is they said that challah from a fleishik meal is also to eat with milchiks, and challah from a milchik meal is also to eat with fleishiks. And the gzeira is the pasha to reason, because when people eat bread, their hands are greasy, you're sitting there eating, you know, the chmeis, the schmelz herring, and you're sticking it on the, that's fish, bad example. You have cheese, and you stick the cheese on the challah, and you're eating it, and now you go cut another piece of challah, and you take the challah, so your hands are all greasy. So Chazal said, listen, as a safeguard, challah you can't do. Now, what about other foods? So other foods, there's no gzeira at all. In other words, if you served, this is also in the case, you had a food on the table, which was, which was there. Could you now serve it at the other meal? So if it's a food that people are typically zoyer on, right, and you don't have to be chayshed that people use it. Let's say a potato kugel on the table. And there was a fork in the potato kugel, a pyro fork, and now people took it and put it on the plate. Now you have three pieces left over. So you don't have to worry. There's no halacha that it's aser. It was on a fleishik table, but there's no reason to assume. Maybe in a kiddush you have to worry because kiddush people come and go, right? It's a zeiros. But in your own home, you know, it was on the table and everybody took it properly. Everybody has manners. Everybody took it. Shine. You don't have to. There's no zeiros there. It's not a problem. If it's a food that is olol to have problems. For example, let's say you put out ketchup in a bowl and you serve the fleishik deli. Right, and people, what do? They take a spoon with the ketchup and they smear it on the fleishiks and they stick it back in, right? So that's old. You know that's how everybody eats. So that already to serve by milchiks, that you can't do because you know, right? You know, I saw my own eyes that it was happening. So that taka, you don't want to go back and forth. But bread, a person should be makbid.
The challah roll is complete.
The pashas of the lashon is something that sat on the fleishik table is a problem. There are paiskin that say if you know klar was on the other end of the table, right? They're okay. But lemaisa, the best thing is to do really if you plan on using it as the other suda, it's mahudadik certainly. It's at least mahudadik and maybe even halachadik that you cut your challah, whatever you need for this meal you put on, and then the other you take off. Right, this way, you because the lashon in the Chazal is that al shulchan. Now, the shulchan is interesting. If it's on a fleishik table and you didn't eat on the table, there's no halacha. I mean, on your counter, you had chalas and there was cholin sitting there. There's no gzeirin there. That's how people serve. The gzeirin is where you're eating. People come to do that. So it's mohudit. It's proper that any chala that's there. There are a teirim if you need it to use it milchiks, but it's certainly better to.
There's no
take
difference
it off.
If it's complete or cut.
Right. Even if it's complete, you know, the guy took and the people scrub by it and then everybody's jumping on the.
Might
you
say
it's
complete, okay?
Might
you say
this
whole
is not valid? Okay, could be. It's chulka days, the paiskim. Again, you know,
it'll.
See, the challah board. The challah board. I don't remember much, maybe referring to the Yevetic Eifen. I don't know if he holds the chachila and wants to leave it there, right? But again, even a challah board, people. People summons the challah board during the suda. In other words, it's just
usually
it's a go-to.
One person,
No, it's a go-to. In other words, people go to the challah. You know, in my house, in the middle of the meal, someone else will go to cut it. It's usually, you know, initially it's by me, and then it ends up further down. And if someone wants challah, and we have a, you know, we have a tray and this challah there, if that runs out, then anybody can go. So again, Pashas. If you want to use it, the other suit, you should ideally think it's more to take off and then you avoid all Shabbos. The one case where they matter is if you have a plastic bag, it's less they get a Shabbos, because typically people don't serve loaves of bread on Shabbos, but it is the gay by meals, by regular meals, by, let's say, by supper, you serve the, you know, the deli, and now you want to have half a loaf of bread, and that takes out of the table. So there, it's clear that if you have a loaf of bread, past the first piece, you see that it's, you know, the way the baker cut it, you see, no one got to it. It's Einai Rakisi that no one got to it. It's a half a loaf of bread that's still shaped. Now, of course, there's always that guy that sticks his hand and pulls out the piece, and the whole domino effect on the whole loaf. If that happens, then your whole loaf is going to be you know, and you can't eat from it, the milk kamil. But typically, if everybody took, you know, with the proper manners, that after the first piece that's in the front, everybody could, that already could be served by milk chachila, because in that oifen, it is, you know, no one got to it.
Okay, you just have to initially just cut off a piece and you can just take that off before you want it.
Yeah, that's fine. In other words, it's not a place like a table, right?
Even if you have stuff on the table.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, some people, Shabbos, they put liver is already there. The balabasa puts liver out, you know, on the, everybody by their seat, or face of turkey salad, or you know, et cetera. So that pashas, if you cut it, you didn't start the meal yet. Right, then you cut it and you take it off. You know, certainly that's not going to be a problem.
Putting it in a plastic bag is the same thing as taking it off.
Right, so there again, if it's nicker in the plastic bag, if it had a twist on it, or it was nicker that no one got to it, then you know that already, you know, if put it in a plastic bag and it was flapped under, and you know no one got to it, then sorry, that's certainly going to be.
It doesn't always work at what you know, what you didn't know. It has to also be like separate, besides for the fact that you know it also.
Correct.
Has to be separate.
In other words, the Gzeir of Chazal was you don't know. In other words, by bread, it's a busy table. You know, people have busy tables. Yomtiv, there's guests, there's company, there's kids, it's Lavendik. So that's the Gzeir. You don't really know what's happening with your challah. Balabas is busy in the kitchen, the Balabas is busy at the table with the guests. I don't know, but he wants people to take eggs with the hate. So you're not really a mashkiach on the loaf of bread, and that's why Chazal gave it an extra extra careful.
But a single person by himself would have the same din.
It's like plug.
I guess it's
a low plug. As we'll see a low plug in a second.
Well, Chayra, this they were saying the whole time that if you know, then if you're
not Pashas, again, there's what to a life.
It's also,
again, if you're the only person and you were Oyman al Kabbah, I guess you went to the time.
It also has to be like separate, like in a bag, or it has to be
Stam,
if it's on the table and you're watching it and you didn't take your mind off it for a second, that wouldn't be enough. It has to be.
I guess not. I mean, I don't know how much the Lord pool goes here. Pashas, it's a problem. But you need Hatterim to get out of it. Now, there's another Gzeir Chazal of not making dairy bread, of milchika bread. And that's because you might get mixed up. Right? If you have dairy bread, milchika bread, you're going to get mixed up. People take a midnight snack, you know, and if it's the Balabasta made a milchika bread, right? It's in the freezer. And now, you're hungry, 12 o'clock at night, it's quiet, right? Now it's around, you know, as they say, you raid the fridge, right? You see, there's leftover deli, you go to the freezer, there's bread. That's because of the hate, right? Bread is the universal staple food. Nowadays, bread, it's become less, you know, in our culture, it's become less, but my father, Hashem, would wash by every meal, like it was the European, you know, wash by every meal. It was a staple, and people just eat it, and even though it's not a staple anymore, but we know it's eaten. People put cheese on it, people put meat on it. It's still ultimately used. So Chazal said, listen, you milk the bread around, it's awesome. Right? You can't do that, because people are going to get mixed up. The Mara...
How many things on national organizations that have OU? I don't know which ones, but you see sometimes the breads.
They're treif. We'll get to that. Hold on. We'll see that. So well, don't worry. I'm not. I'll come back to this. Don't leave. So the Gemara actually says an exception The Gemara says it's machlokes halalun sugya, machlokes mishainim. Shachar paskes both ways. I'll explain in a moment. The Maya davar mulit kedei achila. That's Gemara Pesachim. That if it's a davar mulit, that's the way Rashi learns. If it's a small amount, kedei achila v'basachas. Small basachas means one day. You make enough bread for a day. There's no gzera. What's a gzera? You're going to leave bread around. Someone's going to come and not chat. But you make for one day, so it's a limited amount. So, you know, it's under your watching. This is today's bread. And the balabas is on top of it. And no one's going to take it any other time. Or the Nashina Tzuras HaPas. The Rit learns that's a pshat. Tzatei Keres Shalom Yoichal Basar. Tzakter Amal L'chaynay Yilol Shpas L'chol L'chaga Shmulis. And therefore, the minig is taka. People make milk with the bread. So if you make enough bread for one day, it's enough. Now, of course, there's a straw where it's one day Shavuos, you can make for Shavuos. One day of bread, it's okay. 2 days Yontif, you don't have that, right? You pick, you know, 1 day's worth, and then one has the ability to make milk and bread. It's kind of, it's by the guy in the attack of some recipes call for milk and bread. It's a rich, it's a geschmack of taste. So Shavuos, right? The Amos says people want to eat milk anyway, they could do it, but it should be 1 day. Now, there's a light, so that's mutter, but it's got to be one or the other.
You have to eat it the next directly?
It means you made enough. I mean, look, you can't say someone forced you. In other words, the balabasta made enough what would be considered 1 day's worth. Right? 1 day's worth. Now, if you have leftover, it doesn't become treif, right? But it should be 1 day's worth. Now, there's a light plug here. Right? The light plug, for example, let's say you're a vegetarian. You say, there's no xer by me, there's no fleishiks. Of course, it says you can't say that. In other words, it's still xer, still applies. Or the 9 days, right? 9 days. There's a whole week this week, this year, right? So you say, okay, Sunday bake milchiks, and it's good till Friday. There's no fleishiks here. We're not going to, you know, we're making a sieve, right? No fleishiks. So what's xer? It's still usher. I'll slay plug, right? I'll slay plug. Now the din is that the question is agencies. What do they make? How do they do this? So the answer is, a real loaf of bread is not, none of the major agencies today give on a regular loaf of bread as milchiks. The only ones that do are not reliable, because that bread is a treif. This is a gzeir chazal. There's actually a agav, there's a machloikas apaiskin. It was Nageya Lemaisa, the OU had the shaila in one of their factories, fascinating shaila. Where the company was making a milchika bread, not for kosh, not to get a hechsher on it. It was going to be sold out, except it's a French toast or something. It was milchika bread, but not to have a hechsher on it. And then they were going to make a product, not milchiks. They were going to make a product which was pariv. That was not a bread. They would never put a D on a bread, but it was a product that could be milchiks. Let's say cake. Cake is allowed to be milchiks. Cake grad is something that we consider nicker. Is different. That's the heter to have cheese danishes, etc. So now they're going to bake trays with milchika bread for sale to treifa places. No hechsher. And now we want to bake cake with an OUD on it. Right? There's no OUD on cake. Mutar aser. It's a fascinating shaila. Is milchika bread treif minei ubei, or is it pshat? Like, is it gavris or chepsa? Right? Is it aser in the chepsa? Does this become mamish a piece of tarfus? Right? Which is like, well, I mean, what's treif? It's kosher ingredients. It's called shal milk. What's a no? Chazal or geyser? Right? It's aser. Or is it pshat that it's not mamish tarfus? It's you can't eat it. Right? It's like an iser gavra. Right? To make it, to have it in your house, to serve it, it's aser. So them as they were toiled with this in a. Zaka Tshuva brings in Sibbat Zayin, Sibkot Nidal of 2 days, the Lubush Esrod says that it's Havi Yisra Machmas Atzmai Kibay Basar, right? Habalum Echolov. He says it's like Basar Echolov. It's like Mamish meat full of Echolov, which is Asr, right? Asr Mam Torah, right? If it's cooked, Mamish Asr. So therefore, it's a Chesh Shal Isr, it traces up to Caleb, which is when you think about it, it's Taka. A chiddush, like everything's kosher, the ingredients are kosher, but this becomes a chaticha that's aser. It's a treif of bread, so the cake's treif. You can't cook, you can't bake. Right? You would never bake cake on the basar b'chalav de k'treif, right? There's no more different than that. Other days he brings or matir in this case, and there's not an iser me'aksmai. There's nothing iser about it. It's a zeir chazal. It's a zehirus. It's an iser on the gavra, so to speak, to avoid this. The chepz is a chepz shel heter, and therefore you could bake cake on it because the pans will become treif. Right? So this was interesting, interesting shiloh that they had.
Is there anything telling about like is if you make a heck afterwards?
Right. Well, Maisa were makbid. Could
be the same
challenge. Yeah, maybe not. I mean, here they see the oh, you probably see the toilet in the chepsa itself, right? In the chepsa itself. Now the din is so, but you will find an OUD on English muffins. This is the famous shiloh OUD, Thomas English muffins. What's the hatzah? Right? English muffins are bread, and they have a D on them. So they went through various tzadim l'hakol, right? So one side was, well, the package. I'm going to go to the tzadim and the shakam tayr here, right? What the tzadim are, but why those tzadim didn't work until we get to the final tirets. One side was, it's nigger, because it has an OUD on it, right? And that agav, those hakshirim that gave in the years ago, Arnold Bread had a, that was their heter, they came up with snicker, right? It's no different than the different surah. Right, it's nicker. There's a D on there, but with Maisa, they tie it on that. They tie it on that. That doesn't work, right? That was a word. Shaka tie here. Doesn't work because that's how it did the bread. The bread was made, and it's in the label. And Kol Shekein doesn't work because people don't eat bread out of the label. That was you buy it. It's labeled. You take it out of the loaf, and you take it out of the plastic bag, and if you serve it, people don't see it. You put it back in the freezer, not necessarily in the bag. So that hacker doesn't stick with it, and therefore it has to be a hacker in the bag. So that didn't work. The second side is maybe it looks different, but that worked maybe when initially they came out with this product. So, oh, this is not for any, look, it's different. What is it? Oh, it's built for this. But as time went on, and these English muffins became regular edible items, then it lost that heter. In other words, a shinui of the tzura is something the Malabasta does differently periodically. In other words, let's say Malabasta makes a loaf of bread shaped like a horn. Right? So you look at it, you see, boy, this is different. So no one's going to eat it with fleishig. So you see something different about this. So, but let's say your wife always bakes loaves of bread, like lumash, round challis, right? Round, people bake Rosh Hashanah and shavuos and like a flour. So there's no heter to make a milk around challah because this is challah, right? You know, this is part of the whole Chodesh Tishrei is round challis. So you don't have that. It has to be a special item. So English muffins lost that sign. In the end, they were matir. Because the milchix is bottle, right? The milchix is bottle in the English muffin. Now here, so hechsherim, even if something's bottle, will put a D on the product, right? But even though it's really not milchix, but there's several reasons for this why they put a D, even when it's bottle. One is if the hechsher giving a hechsher, they feel it's a shevel emavayl nisul chachila, like we're giving you the company right to make this milchix and put a milchix hechsher on it. Right, so it's shiklaim of Atlan. That's one side. Another side is it's hard to monitor this. Why bittel? Why you put a D on it? Because you know, you tell a company, listen, any milchix, you have to tell us. That's a formula change. If you had a formula which was a little milchix that was 1% bottle, then the company changed it 2%. You're not going to catch that. The mashgiach will never catch that. We don't look at percentages in factories. It's either it's trade, it's kosher. Percentage, adarava. Companies don't like to give out percentages because that's the trade secret. It's hard enough. It's a chiddush that they're giving us. It's mamash tziat lishmaya that they're giving us the ingredients and suppliers, and they're letting our mashgiach into factories. Right? Star kei mashgiach or whoever. That itself is a nes. Right? So to give percentages, which is mamish the whole, the chef to the formula, we don't want that. Therefore, you're gonna run into problems. The bottom line is, but here, shot is that even though it's bottle, but the mice in the Gzeir Chazal won't apply to a muffin, English muffin, which has bittel milchix in it, because fart is it's bottle. And therefore, even though we would put a D on it, therefore, nonetheless, the halacha is, that was their heter. What's that?
How would
you eat the
fleishig?
Right, but still, in theory, maker din, there may be more to eat with fleishig, but no one would do it because there's a svara to say that they gave rishus to the company to do it. There's a shekel ema battle there. It's not a good analogy to you. The guy was stuck in the face in Faroe, Alaska, and that's all he had. There is a, but it's like it's a shuktus a little bit because we're authorizing this production.
And you also have to work out the whole cutting up a lot of fruit. After a while, there's not much. After
right.
One, nothing there.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about with the ingredients. Well, it's not where it came from. Agav, this is similar. There's a Worcester. If you look at Worcestershire sauce, there's Minyan Le'inyan. Before we get into the fish, I'm running out of time here. But Minyan Le'inyan, if you look at Worcestershire sauce, It has some have OU fish on it, some don't. But you'll look, even the ones that don't say fish, so the ones that say OU fish, you don't want to mix with fleishes, right? Fish and meat. The ones that don't say fish, you'll look at the ingredients, you'll see anchovies. So every so often we get an alarming phone call from somebody that, hey, how can I put this on my meat? Worcestershire sauce goes on meat. And I read there's anchovies in the ingredients. So the terrace is that when it's bottled with shishim, they put anchovies in the ingredients, but they don't warn you that it's OU fish. Because the mice, it's bottled. There's a lock up that sakana, which is fish and meat, is even shishim. But the mice, by fish and meat, people that touch by ram, not yin, but we see the whole world eats fish and meat. So we're still knowing this chumra of fish and meat. But as I buy to say chamir chad meisur, that it's not even bottle of a shishim on something that the velt is knowing to eat milk and fleishig. As I buy milk and fish, fleishigs and fish, as I buy they're not makrit. It's a year to pshara. If it's not bottle, they write all you fish. If it's bottle of a shishim, then they don't warn you to the fish because it's anyway bottle. So what are you going to do? You're going to mix it with your meat? But it's bottle, right? So that is why you don't have to go. You don't have to go as well. Last thing I want to talk about are ovens. Very, very negay. How do you go back and forth between ovens? This cool kateis here. This is a big sugya. But the Torah's. So what time do I have? Okay. So there's two types of items in the oven. There's zeya and there's recha. This is halacha in Yardes and Kufches. Zeya is steam. Recha is aroma. Zeya comes from a liquid. When you cook a liquid, you steam that comes. It's much darker than recha. Recha is where you have a dry substance. Dry, it's not steam like by a liquid. Liquid creates steam. So in general, zeya is much more chumer than recha. So we'll see in a moment that to go back and forth, if something that are steamy, namely liquid types of substances, it's much more chomerdik to go back and forth. To put a milchika item uncovered in your fleishika oven, and it's a liquidy substance, then you're asking for trouble. Because you have the zeya of the fleishiks that was in there, and you have the zeya of the milchiks. You very well, under certain conditions, may be assering the food. You ask to trade your oven up. So one has to be careful. This is probably the hardest aspect of Shavuos. If you have one oven where you're going back and forth. Now, agav, if you want to kasher your oven from milk to fleishik, so you're allowed to do that. That's not a problem. But we don't allow you to kasher silverware, or for that matter, kalim from milk to fleishik. Ayde hagala. That's a takana. The Magen Avraham Hilchos Yontif says you can't go back and forth from milk to fleishik. It's a takana that you're gonna make a mistake because you buy one set of silverware. You say, okay, Sunday night's fleishiks. Monday morning, you're going to kasher for your milk meal. You know, back and forth, you're going to forget. And therefore, you cannot go back and forth. You do one of two things. Either you wait for Pesach, and you kasher for Pesach. Once you kasher for Pesach, you do whatever you want with it. Or you trafe it up. Right? Or you trafe it up. So it's like hard. You go to Chveis Kifud or Pathmark, and you look both ways, and you buy Ashkemeyer hot dogs, right? Chain hot dogs, and you go cook it up with your kalim. That doesn't sit right. Right? You're doing this to drape up your kalim. Ashkemeyer Sion, maybe. But you don't want to do it. Rabbi Hanan has a great chav. You know how to do it? You go buy something with a bad hechsher. Right? Something that if you would use, go buy meat with a hechsher that you would kasher. So now you want to get it from places to milchiks. Oh, very good. I'm buying tarfis. There's a marasayan there too. I think it's a bigger marasayan, right? Someone sees you buying trade hot dogs, they know you must be doing something in your laboratory or something with this. You're not eating this stuff. A bad hechsher, they're going to say, what is this? Right? Okay, so you look both ways. Drive up to some far off supermarket somewhere and get it. So you trafe it up, then it's mutter, right? If you trafe the fleishiks, if you want it milchiks, you trafe it up with milk, trafe the cheese, and now you're able to catch it to the other. But if you don't do that, then you cannot go back and forth. If something's covered, the best eitzah with milchiks and fleishiks is covered. You could cook in an oven, milchiks and fleishiks, if they're both covered, you could cook them at the same time because there's nothing going back and forth. Right, so if they're both covered, not a problem. If two kalim touch, that's not a shteka teiris. If they're dry, in other words, you just had two pans or two pots, you can have this on the stove, shavuos, you're cooking this, you're cooking that, and they bang into each other. There's no transfer when they're dry between one metal and the other. And then for Bidi Evid, the halacha is it's not a problem.
And if some oil, let's say, frying blintzes and it spritzes onto a fleishig of soup.
Yeah, so now you have to ask a shaila. In other words, if you're making milk of blintzes frying and you had a pan which was fleishigs, now you say that some of that milchik got into the pan. Now you got to ask a shaila, it's a dana shishim, it's a dana to wait, this is Dr. Shamash Besheva, can I use that pan in the future? That's a shaila. If it spritzes, you have to ask.
If it's shishim in the soup pot, if it's a unit pot,
it's not a problem. If you had shishim in the soup pot, then you can eat the soup. The question is can I then reuse the pot? So we say you wait 24 hours, come back to the Shamash Meshefa, then it flipped on a power of a pot, or a tea kettle. You wait 24 hours, Dr. Shamash Meshefa.
Let's say that the pot is still in the middle of cooking. You have to stop it in the middle.
If a little bit got on and it's ultimately bottled, then it's not going to be a problem.
I haven't just said you have to wait 24 hours, but it's still in the middle of cooking.
In the middle, you can finish it off. Not a problem. If you're in the middle, then it's not a problem. Now, I think because it's libun kal. In other words, the way we kasher, right? There's different levels of kasher. There's agola, and then there's libun. You can go back and forth because there's no you're not burning out the whole chaser. So I think that's the answer. Yeah, also, an oven is in general more makel because you didn't cook the food directly on it. It's a whole different start. You don't need any benyama by an oven. Also, you don't need any benyama because again, libun comes with it. Yes, if you want a kasher kalim, you have a fleishik. You want to make a parav or mekel. Look at days, but pashas. If you want to make it now parav, one has the ability to do that. If you're cooking now, if you want to do one after the other, right? If you want to do one after the other, so then halacha is if it's clean, you're allowed to go dry. The opposite, and this leads to the best eitzah with your oven. I'm going to jump to the best eitzah. If you have one oven, then an agav, if you want to kasher the oven before I get to the best eitzah, so you kasher it by a regular oven. We're talking about now a regular oven. You put it on for 550 broil, the highest setting, for 40 minutes. You have to clean it first. Because if you have a self-cleaning oven, you run through the self-cleaning cycle and that kashers it. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then you need to ease off the spots. So you want to scrape, you want to clean it well.
You tell me that when it's
right, milk is even treif technically.
No,
right.
So
the oven's flaishig. You want to make it milk
treif.
Okay. Right. And now you can. I mean, in theory, this would work by treif also. You easy off all the spots. If it doesn't come off, you do it a second time, and then you set it for 550 for 40-45 minutes, and now that you've cleaned it, and that now will kasher the oven. As an eitzah taiva, the racks are very hard to kasher. So what you do is you go to your friend that has self-clean, you bring your racks, that's why you don't have to clean your racks, put it in a self-clean cycle, put it in his oven, self-clean it, that will clean his racks and kasher his rack and your racks, and then the oven itself, you ease it up, you clean, and that kashers it. But back to, let's say you have a one oven, and you're not going to kasher back and forth, you want to do both. So Heinemann holds, is other than Paiskim, is that you keep your oven clean. Places you cook whatever you want. Cook all the places you want all the time. Zaya, not Zaya, liquid, it's dry, but you keep it clean. Stuff falls, you clean it out. It's charred, the black. If it's powdery black, then it's lost its shame, fleishigs. But if it has meat in it, then you're stuck, right? If there's meat in it, you have to cook covered milchiks in it because you have fleishigs in here. But if it's, or even maybe double wrap, it's right under it, you may have to do that. Double wrap always works. Treif ovens, you double wrap it, you can do anything you want. It's not a problem. But back to this case here. You have a clean flesh of the oven. It's clean. There's no mamashis in it. Then you could put milchiks, even covered for sure. You could even do uncovered if it's dry. If you're putting in a chayv blintzes. Blintzes are dry. Then we say there's nothing happening here because the recha of the blintzes is not going to have the ability to do anything. And therefore, halacha one has the ability to be mekel in such an oifen. But again, if you want to make milchiks for shvuas in your fleishika oven, make sure the oven is clean, right? Certainly if you kasha the oven, certainly ain lecha clean teru mizu, and then you could put in milchiks either covered, or you put in milchiks that's a dry type of milchiks, and that would be okay. So even baking challahs, you want to bake parabah challahs in your fleshika oven and eat those challahs with milchiks, that's mutter as long as the oven was clean from fleshiks. And as long as you weren't cooking fleshiks, open fleshiks at the same time. You can't cook open fleshiks, even dry, and put in challahs at the same time, and then eat the challahs with milchiks. Or our fish case, this is very negeya, every Erev Shabbos. Balbasta comes, you put in the fleshiks, the chicken is open. Can even be a dry fleishiks. You're putting in a deli roll, right, which is a meat knish that's going in the oven, and now you put the challahs in, which would seem to be what's the problem, right? What's the problem? Now, let's say the baked challahs are ready. You're reheating them, so you don't have the issue of the fleishik challah. And now you put the challahs in, and now you, what do? You make hamaisi Friday night, and the first order of business, you have to gefilte the fish or the regular fish, the salmon, whatever you're eating. And now people put together, right? People put together the fish onto the challah. That's a problem, because that challah was baked tzazamin together with open fleishiks. And therefore, the chathila, it's also to do that, right? So one has to be careful in how they're cooking milk and fleishiks and going back and forth. But if you follow these kedarim, then it's okay. Now, the top of the oven where make all the reins, there are some people who are zara to have one side fleishiks, one side milchiks. That's a chumrah, is the grates stay clean. You can cook fleishiks on it, then you can cook milchiks on it, because the anything that splatters gets burnt up, and therefore the minig is to be made. There are again some people who are makbid, but you don't have to go back and forth. I mean, you could go back and forth with milchiks and fleishiks on the top of the oven. Just want to end in a brief divrei agada, is that the minig of chalav on Shavuos is one of the yonah we saw in the Ramah is connected to alechem. It's interesting that the Indian of chalav ties into both Shavuos, reflects both on Purim and Chanukah in this eifin. Purim we have kima v'kiblu or rikabalas ha'tayra, and we find the Gemara Megillah that says that by Memuchan, the Chazal Darshan, the second Megillah, the Zion of Abayz, Darshan, the various names at the beginning of the Megillah, all the cabinet members of Achashverosh. So it says, Amr Malchai Hashash, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Klu Mikrivu Lefanecha, Karim Leishana, Kederach Shekrivu Yisrael, Shesar. And all these names, Klu Mikrivu Lefanecha, Shtei Toirin, are they like Klai Yisrael? It was a Tchus. The Malachi Hashash were already setting up a Tchus for Klai Yisrael. They were about to come into a tremendous danger. The last one is Memuchan, Klu Mechinu Shulchan Lefanecha, right? Did they prepare the Shulchan in front of you? So Mamuchan, you see, Haman, the real Mamuchan was Haman, why is he compared to the Shulchan? So Blazer Ginsburg Shlita says that Pshat is, you see that Haman was concentrated, unbelievable amount of concentration. He had a certain tmidus to him, he didn't laws up, he didn't let go. His Ein Or Ein HaKol, Rav Shulbar Shilas, Gemara says, he didn't, 13 years, he was not concentrated, he was walking the garden, and they came to him and said, the Jew, you're taking off from Shir. He says, 13 years I didn't walk out, and now I'm not, you think I'm stam battling? I'm concentrating on the Talmidim. You see, his Einikol used this Kayach of Haman for concentration. He harmed 13 years. He didn't leave his classroom for 13 years. It was a Tamidah. So you see the Mid of Haman, which he used Lerah to Mamish focus on Kalai Yisrael Lerah. You see, the Einikol had the same Midah, and it was done for Taiva, and that's symbolized in the Shulchan. Because the Shulchan had Tzvitas in it. The Shulchan, Memuchan is the Shulchan. Because the Shulchan had the Lachem HaPanim on it. It was there all the time. It was there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was a Tzvitas. So the whole Lechem, Shnei Lechem, this whole Inyan of Shavuos is came Chayin of Yechameinu, Vayim Negeim Valoyla. Right? So that's maybe the Kibbutz of Kibbutz of Purim that was there, that it ties in to the Lechem, Shnei Lechem, the Lechem HaPanim. It's all the Zinyan of Tzmidus, which is what Shavuos is about, and that's how the Kimu Kiblu, which was Purim, that was there. Chanukah, the other, the Rabbanim, the Yontif, you have Cholav, which is what I'm saying, you have Cholav on Shavuos, you have Cholav on Chanukah. Those are the two Yom Tovim. That's the Inyan of Shavuos. What's the connection? Where do you see a connection between Shavuos and Chanukah? Shavuos and Chanukah, the two Yom Tovim, that the days are confusing. Because Shavuos, what day is Shavuos? You have Macholik's Tanoim, was it Zayin Sivan? The Chanukah, you also have a confusion of days. Hanukkah, and sometimes on Beis Teves, Gimel Teves, so there are the 29 days in Kislev. 30 days in Kislev, Hanukkah also has this confusion of what the days are. And that's maybe the need of Cholov, because Cholov is tied into Zman. Right? Cholov, you wait 6 hours, you wait 3 hours, it's a Tzuna Achas, the different sheets of Cholov. Cholov, you can run and learn exactly how long to wait when you go from Milchus to Fleishiks. So Cholov was introduced to both Hanukkah and Shavuos. It's Boli Day Limud HaTorah of exactly, just like both days is an Inyan of Zman and what the day is, so too Cholov has this Inyan of time. You gotta wait 6 hours. Is it enough 6 hours? How is 6 hours? And therefore, that obviously a Yid is Boli Day Zahiris, these Takanas of Chazal, or Syogim, so that not only we follow the Torah Alein, Al-Khamash Sinai, but Chazal had the ability to create Syogim, which was an offshoot of Chazal used to speak out that Vav Sivan, we didn't get the Torah, we got Zion Sivan. He explained that the Vav Sivan was Moshe Rabbeinu had the chaylus to postpone. I think he said over from the either the Emek Bracha or where Moshe Rabbeinu was giving the chaylus to postpone in a day. That was very Kabbalah Satayra there. The Moshe Rabbeinu had Gedarim, the ability to Loi Bashamayim. He had the Torah Alein, even though that Torah itself wasn't there, but the chaylus of Chazal, and that's the whole Bas of Chol, that's the whole Milchus of Fleishiks. As we've seen. Thank you very much. A good Yom Tov. And again, thank you very much to Rashiva, Shlita, to the Spanish Elyon. Because Hashem may continue to go Mechal Ochayim. How are you?
So was Nazi considered Nazi?
Who is this?